My name is Carolyn. I'm a compulsive overeater. The topic of this session is abstinence. May we have a moment of silence. Then those who wish to, please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As I said, my name is Carolyn. I'm a compulsive overeater from Spokane, Washington. I'm 54 years old. I've lost 90 pounds, sometimes 90, right around 90, depends on if I'm in the salt. My top weight was about 210. It was probably more than that, but I stopped weighing at 210. And it took me 5 years to lose the weight. I've been in the OA experience almost 5 years. November 8th, it'll be 5 years. The reason I came to the OA experience is I lost the weight on my own over that five-year period of time before I ever got here. But when I get into the 120s, I've fluctuated my entire life. I'm, you know, the accordion, but every time the accordion got bigger and bigger and bigger. But this time, I said, I'm not gonna feel like this anymore. I'm not gonna live like this anymore. I'm not gonna put pressure on myself. I'm gonna leave myself alone. If it comes off, it comes off. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I accepted myself as a fat person. That was the turning point for me. I said, I'm hiding in the house. I'm huge. I'm fat because it's unacceptable to be fat in my family. It's unacceptable. You've got to be thin. You've got to be thin. There's no two ways about it. You must be thin and you must be beautiful. So if you don't fit, you just don't fit. So, of course, I got fat. I accepted myself as a fat person, and I said, I have nothing to wear, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going out in public. And, of course, the neighbors saw me go out and cut the lawn, and this all I had was a sweatpants. Of course, they're stretchy, and red sweatpants and a red sweatshirt, and no undergarments because, you know, I didn't want to go out and buy anything. So I was out there cutting the lawn in these baggy breasts, 200 and some pounds. And the neighbors just looked at me. I said, well, I'm out here. That's the important thing. I'm out here. All they can say is, she got fat. They can't kill me. And that's really what got me out, what got me going. And then I started little by little wearing makeup again, actually bathing sooner than 6 days, and taking a little bit more pride in myself. The word abstinence, as it is in the program, doesn't really mean anything to me. It's not something I identify with. But when you see my face, it's discipline, discipline, discipline. That's my words. Self-regulation and eternal vigilance, though they all mean the same thing. Abstinence doesn't resonate with me at all. I understood abstinence when it came to, because it means not, and I'm going to eat again. I told my husband, I am going to eat again, when I felt like, oh, I'm denied this. I am going to eat again, Bernie, and I'm just not going to eat it all at once. I'm not going to eat it all now, but I'm going to eat again, and I can eat 3 times a day if I want to, but I don't. I only eat twice a day and sometimes only once. I let my body tell me what it wants. If I don't feel like eating, I don't. And diet soda, taking abstinence for diet soda, I decided I'm going to quit diet soda because I use that as my weight loss tool. I drank 3 of those 2-liter bottles every day. We were known as the Pepsi people at the store. No food, just Pepsi. And I've always been told that the chemicals are horrible for you, and they are. They really are. And I'm a hyper person. I didn't, even as a fat person, lethargic, I was still hyper. I didn't need the caffeine, but it's odd. The diet soda in my hand was, when it was coffee, I had to have coffee all the time, and I stopped drinking coffee because my face broke out. So then I went to the caffeine and the diet soda, and I had to have a can in my hand, or I said, I'm not okay. The world is not going to be okay. I'm not going to be okay if I don't have that can, my security blanket. So I worked myself up to giving it up, and I told my husband, I'm going to give it up for 1 day. I have a dozen of them in the refrigerator if I want it. It's there. But I'm going to give it up for 1 day and just see what happens. And I did. I gave it up for 1 day, and it was, I felt like I'm jumping off a cliff without a parachute when I gave up the diet soda. It's an odd thing. I don't know why or what, but I felt like I'm jumping off a cliff without a parachute. And after that first day, I was so relieved. So nothing happened. And I said, okay, I did it for a day. I'm going to do it for two. I did it for 2 days. And then 3, and then 4, and pretty soon it was a week. And then it was 3 months. And those little tokens that you get at meetings for abstinence, those meant a lot to me because it said, I did it. It was a physical reminder. I did it. So I labeled it and hung it in my closet. And so it's been 4 years now without caffeine or diet soda, and I'm so happy to be free of it. I was a prisoner of the soda. I was a prisoner of diet soda, and I made myself a prisoner of the diet soda. Somebody said to me once a long time ago, you've got to be addicted to that stuff. And no, I said, no, it's not addicting. It's not a narcotic. I said, you know, I am psychologically addicted to this. I'm an addictive person. I am an addictive person, and that addiction comes from a feeling of helplessness, of being worthless, totally worthless. In the family I come from, perfection is required, it's required, and if I was perfect, that's still not good enough. So all that adds up to zero, 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 and it means I'm totally worthless. That's the message I got, I'm worthless. Discipline to me is creating good habits. It's not like I'm going to hit you because my mother said I've got to discipline you, which means I need to beat you up. But discipline to me, in terms of food, means I have to create good habits and I need to do what I need to do to be comfortable in my body. And recovery for me is discovery. It's discovery of who I am. I don't come to the OA experience to turn you into me or to turn me into you. I think everybody is an individual, and I just share who I am, what I am, and what works for me. And again, the most important relationship I have is with me, with myself. Because if I don't like me, I don't like you. And I am critical. I'm terribly critical. And I just feel so comfortable here because everybody is like me. And I said once at a meeting, you can't criticize me because you're just like me. So, and when I was trying to take the weight off, making a half-hearted attempt, because I don't want to put pressure on myself. That's always sabotaged me in the past. So I didn't put pressure on myself. I just left myself alone, didn't tell anybody what I'm doing. And my poor husband, he tolerated me all those years, fat, really fat. And I didn't let anyone else get in my way. I didn't tell anybody what I'm doing. And I stayed focused. And the normal weight loss that you've always been told is 10 pounds a month, that's safe. So I would go through my calendar and okay, I'm 196. I leveled at 196 for a long time and I never thought anything of it. And then I put 186, 176, okay, I should be here. After 3 months, I wasn't anywhere near, so I gave that up. And I said, I'm sabotaging myself. I'm not going to put anything on the calendar, nothing. So as it turned out, my normal body, and again, nothing happens easily and fast for me. My normal body is 6 months, 10 pounds. So if I want to put something extra in my mouth, if I want to eat a little extra something, I said, are you willing to take 6 months? Are you willing to be uncomfortable for 6 months? Are you willing to risk even hating yourself? Are you willing to risk that? So it's just a really interesting thing. And when I started my weight loss journey, I said three things to myself every day. Number one, and most important, having come from where I come from, where you must be perfect, you must be tall, thin, beautiful, all of that stuff. I said, I do not have to be anyone else's anything anymore. My mother-in-law is a small, tiny, petite person. I'm big-shouldered, and she's always telling me how tiny, petite, and all that she is. And she put the pressure on me to be small, and I'm not. I'm not a 5 foot person. I'm 5 foot five. I have big hips. I'm Scandinavian and German. I've got big hips. And she always told me, we French, we have these narrow little shoulders. But I like big shoulders. I like big shoulders. So I said to myself every day, you do not have to be anybody else's anything. I'm not anybody else's weight anymore. I'm not anybody else's size anymore. A 10 doesn't mean a thing. It could be 10 could be something different in every manufacturer's size. So we'll stop looking at those numbers. Just look at the garment. If it looks like it fits, try it on. And then I said, I want to feel comfortable in my body. That's my goal, to feel comfortable in my body. That's my focus every single day, and to be healthy. And then the third thing I said to myself every day, because this was a huge learning experience, I wrote on my calendar, I said to myself, you're not doing this again. When you're on your way down, you're not going back up again. This is the last time. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to feel this uncomfortable. My back hurt, my ankles hurt, my legs hurt, and I had such trouble breathing. When I'd go for a bike ride with my husband, we'd have to stop every two blocks so I could breathe, and that's a real pain for him, and he's a very athletic person. He's a wonderful person to have tolerated me all those years. I said to myself every day, lessons are presented to you every single day if I'm just smart enough to see them. There's something there every day. So I need to see what's in it, not say I don't need to have a resentment, I don't need to bitch and moan, I don't need to criticize. I said, what is there? If somebody doesn't do something they promise they're going to do, I don't want to get all upset and say, I'm going to be so mad at her, I'm going to make her feel bad. I'm going to just thank her for what she did do and be glad for that. Be glad for what I have, not what I have not. In the beginning, the first 10 years of my marriage, I've been married 27 years to one person, and the first 10 years of that marriage, I hated it. I just hated it. But I made a commitment, and I am big on commitment. When you sign on the dotted line, you fulfill that commitment. So I hung in there and hung in there and hung in there. And after 10 years of that, I said, you know, I'm going to stop looking at what he isn't. I'm going to start looking at what he is. Because I would talk to other people about, oh, he's this, this, and this, and bitch and moan, never thinking to look at me. No, look out there. It's somebody else. It's me. So talking to other people and just saying, I don't like him. I want a divorce. And so many times I'd be fed up with it, and I'd say, Bernie, I'm out of here. And I am so glad I stayed, because in the end, it's the commitment that keeps you there. And when I started my weight loss, even before that, everybody in my family, everybody in my surroundings, if they do not contribute to my well-being, they were out, out, out. And they haven't come back in. And I work with myself. I don't work against myself. And I live on my successes, small or not. I don't do guilt and shame. That doesn't help me at all. And again, the two hardest things in the world for me to do were to lose weight and to relax. And I could do both. And starting out, the idea of willpower, it's a nice word, but it means nothing. Really, it's a scapegoat word. I have the will and I have the power. The power is within me. I need to access it. Not be afraid of it, but access it. So willpower is just a word that means nothing. And I said to my friend that really, when you have an eating disorder, you're wearing your, for me, I'm wearing my physical and mental health on the exterior of my body. But nobody knows that. They think I'm, oh, you pig. But really, I'm not a well person. And I want to get rid of that shame for being fat. That's why I'm wearing my picture. I'm wearing my picture on my lapel of my fat person. It's not my biggest, but it's a good one of my face where I was a ball with two eyes and a nose. Because people would always say to me in the beginning, what are you doing here? And I said, well, after the first convention 4 or 5 years ago, I said, I think I'm going to start wearing a picture. So I wanted it to wear it for this convention, because I want people to feel comfortable that I'm not one of those silly thin people that thinks, oh, I have an eating problem. But I do have an eating problem. I've been all of it. I've been the anorexic end, I've been the bulimic end, I've been the blimp end. I've been all of those. And my 4 D's that I work with, first of all, I had to have a desire to take it off. I needed to have a desire. That needed to be very, very strong. The next thing I had to have is I had to have a direction. Willpower does nothing for a direction. Willpower is just an idea. It has no framework. It's an idea. So, and then discipline. I have to have discipline, discipline, discipline. And then determination. I've got to see it through. And I have my laxes, my slight times, my difficulties. And then what I say to myself every day, did you eat today? And chances are I did. Then you must move today, get out and exercise. And whatever I give myself, I mean, I get whatever I give myself. So I say, what do you want to give yourself? And I say, give yourself a chance to feel good. Give myself a chance to feel good. The option of blowing up again is always there for me if I want to. I can always put the weight back on if I want to. That's available to me. Because I really, really want it. And Dolly Parton said to me once, or said to an interviewer once, she was asked, well, why are you so successful and you have all these siblings who are talented too? And she said, because I really wanted it more than they. And that's why I took it off, because I wanted it. I want it really bad. Because how I look, the weight I have on affects every part of my life. If I gain a pound, I think, oh, I can't go out there. People know, they say I'm an awful person. But they don't know. They don't care. What I put in my mouth, I put on my body. And I do eat to feel good. I eat to feel good in my body now, to feel comfortable. Before, I would eat to feel good because I'm not good enough. I cannot be perfect, so I'm going to eat. Just that makes me feel good. I'm going to postpone this awfulness about myself. I'm going to eat something. And that always worked for a moment. But I never considered, you're going to get fat. I said, I don't care. I'm thinking for just in the moment. I'm not thinking about that. And I didn't really like myself. So I just ate. I ate all day, every day. And food it's a sensory experience for me. It's just it's when the food gets in my mouth, and some things are just wonderful, it's like the fireworks go off and I can't bring them back in. It's just a wonderful sensory experience. It happens, it's all in these taste buds. Once it gets in the rest of my body, nothing. But I just cannot get enough taste. So I've traded the volume of food for feeling good. And I start every single day with a big, tall glass of hot water. No touching any food until I've had that big glass of hot water. And I drink that all before I have any food. Then I put everything on the plate at one time. And I like to have a lot of variety of tastes. I can't just eat one thing. And I've got to feel like I had a thrill in the morning. And my big meal is breakfast. I eat a big breakfast. And then if I don't feel like eating the rest of the day, I don't. And then a smaller dinner. And I eat the carbohydrates in the morning, the complex carbohydrates in the morning. And I put everything all on the plate. And some days I look at that and I said, ooh, is that all there is? Then in other days I said, wow, do I have to eat all that? So it's just interesting to learn. It's just interesting. It's a real interesting process. And I do the HOW program. The food plan is helpful to me, but I don't follow it exactly. I love the HOW questions because they make me probe. And I do have a food plan, and that food plan has saved me over and over and over again. I don't weigh and measure, although I'm a good candidate for weighing and measuring, because I said, okay, if I take out a couple of nuts, I said, those are little. That two little ones, that's really too small. I think I should have one more. That would equal, three of them would equal one big nut. And when I start doing that, I said, okay, that's a warning sign. The red light should start going off. And if I start rounding off a cup, warning sign, warning sign. And I think, oh, I didn't have a protein quite enough. I go looking for it, warning sign. So, and I have a problem with salt. This past winter, I gained 8 pounds over this last year, and it was the salt monster coming to visit me. And that's a strong, 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 strong pull. I gave into it a few times. I said, oh, no, okay, you can't. Then I gave in, and I put on a little bit of time. I said, okay, no more. So 8 pounds. I have a range I stay within. I like to be between 115 and 124. And when I get to be 124, I'm getting uncomfortable. And remembered, see, I wasn't thinking. I said, gratification, so, give this thing what it wants, the salt monster. And I put on the weight. And then I started thinking, okay, now what am I going to do? So when the salt monster comes to visit me now, I invite the salt monster in, and we sit down and talk. And we said, what's this all about? What are you going to do? Postpone it for a moment. And after I postpone it for a moment, it's gone. After I have the salt monster visit me every 28 days, then it's sweet. And I do not like sugar, but I like something sweet. Of course, we all have ice cream in common, most of us. So I like something sweet, so I try to eat something sweet, but like pineapple. And then after a sweet person comes, then it's the chocolate monster will come and visit me. And then after that, it's odd. It's smoked turkey, smoked salmon. I could not eat enough smoked turkey or smoked salmon. I could not eat enough of it. So if you have candy on your desk, I'm not going to bother. But if you have a smoked turkey there, I'm going for it. And this whole process, I'm still learning what my body wants to do, because I learn everything slow. It's a real learning process, and it's fascinating to me. I love doing it. And every time I have a problem like this, it was an 8-pound gift. It taught me a lot, because I got arrogant and said, oh, I'm there. And it was an 8-pound gift. And I don't give myself guilt and shame over it. I said, this was an 8-pound gift. And being in the OA experience, I noticed when I first came in, there's so many commonalities. We have alcoholism in our past. Most of us have depression, and I've had depression my whole life. I've noticed arthritis, fibromyalgia, migraine headaches, peanut butter. A lot of us have peanut butter in common. A lot of us have bread, and I heard somebody else talk about turkey. And then from the families, we come from dysfunctional families, and almost universally we said, I never fit in, and that was me, I never fit in. But do I need to fit in? I just need to be kind to people and be thoughtful. I don't need to fit in. Maybe I never will, and that's not my goal. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn. I'm Janelle. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in OA for 18 years, 7 months and 7.5 months. I joined in February of 84. I have been maintaining or abstinent since April of 85. and I have maintained 115-pound weight loss since May of 86. And I weigh today what I weighed the day I reached my maintenance weight. I have varied from that a few pounds either way, but pretty much I've stayed at that weight. I'll send this around so you can kind of look. That's kind of my life story in an album, because a lot of people see me now and say, oh, you were never heavy. And most of the people in my life that I know now didn't know me when I was heavy, because I've been in OA so long that people come in and they've never have seen me heavy. I'll give you a little history before OA. I was a normal looking kid. Actually, I was skinny. And I started gaining weight in about fifth grade. But when I got this album prepared, I looked at those fifth grade pictures and I was normal. And I thought, maybe because I was so skinny before, I thought I was fat at that age, but I really wasn't. In the eighth grade, I definitely was heavier than what I should have been. I thought I weighed 165. And when I looked at that picture, I thought, oh, I couldn't have weighed that much. So I'm not sure what I weighed. But that was when I went on my first diet. And it was skip breakfast, a small lunch, and my mother fixed me probably a protein and a salad for dinner. And I didn't have to worry about it. And so slowly the weight came off. And when I went into high school, or at least the first year or two of high school, the weight came off. And by the time I graduated, I was a very normal weight. But I think the secret is never felt thin. Never felt normal. And when I had to do my eating history in OA, I realized that even as a skinny, skinny kid, I thought about food too much. I was always looking for it. I always liked sweets. I always wanted the biggest. I wouldn't want seconds. So even when I was thin, my mind was not of a thin person, I don't think, a thin child. I kept my weight off pretty much until I was in my later 20s, and I quit smoking and gained 50 pounds in 3 months. And that's really what I blamed my weight gain on. And I had a bad weight problem from that time until I came to OA when I was 42 years old. But when I had to do my history, I realized that I had started putting on a few pounds before I quit smoking, but I was never able to admit that to myself. So even if I would have continued to smoke, I would have probably continued to slowly gain weight. When I quit smoking, I just put food in my mouth instead of the cigarettes, and I gained it rapidly and couldn't lose it. Wished I only had 50 pounds to lose. By the time I came to OA, I thought about food every waking moment. Where to buy it? How much could I eat? When could I get it? How much could I spend on it? Should I diet? Should I not diet? I went on probably 3 major weight reduction plans before I got to OA. And I think the reason I didn't do more than that or put more money into it because somewhere in my head I knew it wouldn't work. No matter how much weight I lost, and I would lose like large amounts. The last time I think I lost like 80 or 90 pounds. But if you look, the last thing I tried was going to a dietitian. By the next year after I quit the dietitian, I gained 100 pounds. So it was like 1 year I might weigh 150, and the next year I weighed 250. So it was. I was just losing the battle. I was very discouraged. I didn't know what to do. I was resentful. I was angry. I don't think I was suicidal. But it was like I knew that I was here for some reason, and there had to be more to life than this. By that time, I wasn't able to work anymore. I had health problems. But I also had health problems that were directly related to the food, but I didn't know that until I got abstinent and gave up the food. And then those problems went away. So when I came into OA, I just felt very hopeless. I really didn't know where to turn. This was my last resort. I had heard about OA on TV. I looked it up in the phone book, couldn't find it, thought we didn't have one in Spokane. So from that time on, it was self-pity. Well, if we had OA, I could go. But being we don't, poor me. And one day I said that to a person I know, and she said, oh, we've got it. I used to go. I'll take you. And that's how I got here. Or I'd probably still be saying, poor me, I can't find it. They don't have a phone number. They're not here. And my life really changed after that. I came into program. I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know what those damn steps were, but I wasn't going to work them until I lost my weight. That was kind of my attitude. And so I got on a food plan. No, I got on a diet. And it was the diet that my dietitian had gave me, and I knew it worked. I knew it was healthy. I knew if I stuck to it, I'd lose weight. The problem was I couldn't stick to it. So I went on that. I was on it very faithfully for about 3 months, lost about 35 or 40 pounds, couldn't maintain it, started gaining weight, and at that point my sponsor was finally able to talk to me into having a sponsor for the program, because before that I had a food sponsor because I didn't need that other stuff. And so, boy, once I got on a food plan, and I call it a food plan now because to me it's a diet if I'm not working the steps, because nothing changes. It's just a struggle, and when I go off of it, I go crazy. With my food plan, I have a basic plan. It doesn't change. I may add a little or subtract a little depending on my weight, how I feel, what's going on, but my basic plan stays the same. What happened is I was able to stay on that for a while, and I did really well. I gave my fifth step away, and for some reason, I just thought I could have a little dessert. Well, I couldn't, I can't, I shouldn't have, and I don't anymore. But it took me 8 months to get my abstinence back. And that was 8 months that I had absolutely no control. I was eating my face in. I was able to see how my disease had progressed way past where it was when I came into program. And I was scared to death. And what finally happened is I finally realized I took step one. I realized that I was a compulsive overeater, that I could not control my food, and that my whole life was unmanageable. Because before that, I thought, I don't know what's wrong with these people. All I've got to do is lose weight. My life will be wonderful. The rest of my life is fine. Well, I just didn't have the honesty to be able to admit that the rest of my life wasn't fine. But when I lost my abstinence that last time, I was really able to see the difference between being in the food, being out of the food, how I felt, and I was so surprised at my attitude. I became negative, I became complaining, I pointed the finger at everybody, it was everybody's fault but mine, and I wasn't like that when I was abstinent and working the program. So at that point, I was finally able to say, I really want this thing, how can I get it? And I had a sponsor that fired me. That isn't what she said, but that's how I felt, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it made me realize that she couldn't carry me, that I had to want this, and I had to work really hard to get it. And what I said to my higher power was, if you will help me find a sponsor, I'll do whatever she tells me to do. And I did get a sponsor, and I did do whatever she told me to do, and I just thought, oh, this is a marvelous person. She's got all the answers. And then when I got into the big book, I figured out she's just telling me what the big book says. But it was like, you know, and after that, instead of little ahas, I would get these huge ahas. And I think, my God, I was 42 when I came to this program. Why didn't I know this stuff? I don't know why I didn't know. And sometimes I let myself think, well, if you're 60 now, what don't you know? And then I think, well, I'll know it when I'm supposed to know it. But it is just amazing to me that it took me so long to start growing up. But that's life. Before I came to OA, I never exercised because I was too heavy. I couldn't breathe. Yada, yada, yada. You know, the routine. After I'd been in OA a while, I started riding a bicycle at home. I would never have gone out and ridden one, but I rode one at home, and God, that's a boring, terrible. But I made myself do it twice a day because I didn't have enough stamina to do it once and get it over with. Lost my abstinence, of course, I probably gave that up. But eventually, when I was well on to losing most of my weight, I was almost at my goal weight, and I was able to do Bloomsday in 86, and that was a first. In fact, I used to make fun of my sister-in-law because she did Bloomsday, and I'd say, oh, it's hard on your joints. Oh, it's that. And then I did it, and I had to keep my mouth shut. Oh, it's a run. It's a run. It's a 7.2 or some mile run. I was also blessed to find out different hungers. I just thought I was hungry, 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 hungry. Feed that hunger. And I remember calling one of my sponsors one time and saying, oh, I am just so hungry. And I knew she was going to say, well, if you're that hungry, you need to eat something. I knew that's what she was going to tell me. And she says, well, have you had everything you're supposed to have today? Yes. Is it well balanced? Yes. And she said, well, tough shit. It was like I couldn't believe that she was saying that to me. She doesn't, and my thought process was she doesn't understand. She's never been this hungry. And slowly I learned the different kinds of hunger. And once I was able to realize that it wasn't physical hunger I was feeling, it was emotional, I was willing to be hungry. And the first day I remember that, I remember having a fight with one of my kids, and I just got so hungry. And I said to my husband, oh, you know what? I had a fight with Kier, and I am just so hungry. And he said, I know. And I thought, I wonder how many years he knew that and wasn't able to share that. Of course, I wouldn't have listened to him anyway. But it was like, huh, that was such an awakening for me. But it was once that happened, I was willing to be hungry after that. Because then I'd say, okay, you're hungry. Now, is that physical hunger? Is that emotional hunger? And it was hardly ever physical hunger. I mean, I don't skip meals. It couldn't have been physical hunger. So it was like those awarenesses are so important. I also found the difference between a diet and a food plan. A diet I went off of made like crazy. And a food plan, I don't do that. I stick to my basic plan. It's well-defined. I started out and I weighed and measured. At times, I still go back and weigh and measure everything. There are some things I always weigh and measure. When I was on my weight losing part, I weighed every month. When I got to goal weight, I weighed every week. And if I was up a pound 1 week, I would let it go until the next week. And if I was up that same pound, then I would definitely take a look at my food plan. Now I'm kind of back to weighing once a month at this point because my weight hasn't changed. I have found through the years, though, because of age and my activity, that I've had to reduce some of my calorie intake. Not a lot. You know, in the old days, it was feast or famine. Well, now it's give up one half of a carbohydrate or a half of a fruit. And that was just beyond my comprehension. You know, it was all or nothing for me before. But that was something the dietitian was able to explain to me. What I have learned is, you know, I am a very fearful person. That change is hard for me. But the program gave me the ability to be frightened and do it anyway. And that was just, and you know, when I have to change my food, and even today when I change my food, it's not the big deal it used to be. But it's like that first day, it's kind of scary. Oh, God, can I do this? Oh, do I have, oh, geez, I don't know. The second day, it's like, that was not so bad. You can do this. And the third day, it's like, why were you being such a big baby about this? It's okay. You're doing fine. And one thing my sponsor said, especially with my food, do not do it alone. You did it alone for all those years and it got you into trouble. If you're going to change anything, if you have a question about anything, let's talk about it. And that's a real biggie for me. And it's humbling too, even after this many years, to say, you know, I think I want to lose a pound. I think this is what I'm going to do. Does it sound healthy and normal? But I don't have to do anything alone today. And I did everything alone before. I was hiding. It was secret. It was shameful. I don't have to do that anymore. I used the phone. I used to think when I first came into program, I didn't use the phone because for those extra calls, because I thought, well, if I call somebody, I'm going to bother them. And if I call them, this wasn't in my foremost brain, but I know it was subconscious. If I call them, they may talk me out of eating. So I didn't make the phone call. Eventually, I realized I was worth that phone call, that was my way of reaching out for help, and that if I called a person that was abstaining, they would tell me if I was bothering them, and they would call me back, or I could call them back, but they would be right up front. And that was important for me to know, too. Since I did Bloomsday, I have been exercising. I walk 3 miles a day, 5 days a week. I've done that ever since I started Bloomsday, and I did not do it for health. I wish I could say I did it for health. I did it so I could eat 300 more calories a day. That was my goal. Now it's for health, but when I first started it, it was not. I learned that I could eat a few more calories if I exercised, and so I started exercising. And now I just feel better. I also learned that I have to give it away to keep it. And I sponsor, and I come to meetings, and I do things that help me get out of myself. And when I'm really feeling low, one of the best things I can do is to make a phone call, see how somebody else is doing, call a newcomer. And Bill says in the big book, you know, there's nothing that works so well as working with others. I use the tools. I go to meetings because I hear recovery. I hear those pearls of wisdom. I have support, and there are others there that may need my help. So today I'm fortunate. I have maintained a healthy weight for 16 and a half years. The cleaner my food is, the better my life is. It's kind of like it gives me the freedom to honestly look at myself and what I'm doing instead of focusing out there. The minute I start hanging on to anything, it's just I start hanging on to everything. It's really odd. This is the easier, softer way. I didn't think so when I came in, but it is. It's so much easier to live my life free of that obsession of thinking about food every waking moment. That was hell. That was just awful. And I don't want to be back there again. I know it's a progressive disease, but I also know it's a progressive recovery and that there are a lot of things I still don't know. When I first was abstinent over the long haul, I got a lot of ahas frequently. I get ahas now. They're further and further apart, but they're very, very deep. Very, very deep. So what I know today is I can see the light. I just was in a hole before. I have hope. I have choices. And I have freedom. And I am reachable and teachable. Before program, my mind was like a steel trap. And if it wasn't something that I agreed with, I would just turn you off in my head and wouldn't listen. Today I will listen. Today I know, though, that I have a right to have an opinion, and that if my opinion doesn't agree with yours, that's okay. I didn't know that before. So today I'm reachable and teachable, and if I can say that to myself, then I know I'm humble. And for me, that's a real important part of the program. It's the only thing that ever worked. It's the only program that I ever got to. I never got to goal weight because I didn't really have a goal, but I got past where I thought I'd end up. The benefits are, I couldn't even list them. A few years ago, we had an emergency call to go to Hawaii, and I threw a bunch of things in the suitcase, got to Hawaii, and I thought, what if these clothes don't fit? Well, because of OA, they fit. They fit from year to year. That never happened to me before. So not only do I have big ahas, but I have little ahas, and I have great appreciation. I went from negativity to being glad to be alive. And where else could you go and tell your people and tell your story, talk about yourself, and people want to hear it? It's wonderful. Thank you.
Please hold your pitches to 3 minutes so that all who wish to may share. Please come forward and form a line for speaking. Please speak directly into the microphone. If you don't wish your name to be used, use a fictitious name. So we're open for sharing.
Hi, I'm Santina, recovering compulsive reader. I just appreciated your share so much this morning because you just grabbed me. I've been in program probably 3 years, and when I came into program, it was just like there was no hope. I had lost and gained and lost and gained and lost and gained, and I was just sick and tired of it. And a friend told me about OA, and we came in probably for the first 6 months. I just came and cried every meeting. And it wasn't until I came to a convention that I finally got a sponsor, and it kind of a light went off in my head. Oh, that's what they're talking about. It was like I didn't know what this program was. I didn't know what working the steps was. I didn't understand any of it. And then I became abstinent. Lost about 65 pounds and relapsed because I thought I could find a softer, easier way and didn't lose for a few months. And so, you know, you can't stand those plateaus. You've got to be doing something. So unfortunately, at that point, my sponsor dropped me at that point because she thought I was trying to add something else to this program. So I really can say that I floundered for probably over a year. The one good thing was that I didn't stop coming. I kept coming. And eventually, as I kept coming, I started grasping what this program was more than just a food plan. It was, you know, a change of life. And so over the last year or so, I have released about 80 pounds. But I found myself, thank you. But I found myself just recently going back into, you know, relapse. When a problem came up in my life and I couldn't let go of it. You know, the big book says acceptance is the most important thing, and letting go of that self-obsession. And I kept saying, yeah, but how can I do this? You know, well, I can't do anything. I have to surrender. Do I have to surrender and forgive these people because they're so rotten to me? I have to, or else I can't work the program. I mean, for me, resentment gets me back into the food. It gets me back into the obsession. And so, thank God, he's so patient with me. And because I keep coming back, and because people are here to share that they've gone through the same struggles that I'm going through, there is hope. There is, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't work the program perfectly, but I know where I can find the answers. So one day at a time, as we walk this journey, I'm here, and I'm encouraged, and I believe we're going to make it, whatever it is, at the end of this journey. So thank you. But my life has changed, and I can tell the difference if I do get back into the food. I, like you say, you can tell difference. Right away, you're looking at everybody else and thinking, oh, aren't they terrible? But when we're working the program and we're working the steps, and I kind of get up to step 9, and then I'm, I'm hoping now I can get past step 9. So thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. I'm Althea, and I'm a food addict, compulsive overeater from Shoreline, Seattle, Washington. And I am grateful to be here today. And abstinence for me, just to give you a little background for a second, I've been in the program 10 years this year, and I've been heaviest in this program at 300 pounds. And I was 282 pounds last September. And I, you know, ebbed and flowed in this program. And I never had a sponsor because I didn't want anybody to know more than me and have more than me, and I have my ego is huge, you know. And so I had a lot of partners in recovery, you know, and that's good, don't get me wrong, but I didn't want to have anybody, you know more than me. So finally, in November of last year, I got the willingness to have a sponsor. And for me, abstinence comes solely from my connection to my higher power. End of conversation. If I could do it myself by any sort of power, then I would have done it a long time ago. I'm 37, and I've been a compulsive overeater since I was a toddler. I stopped emotionally developing at about 3 or 4. So I'm just like a little kid, you know, I don't know how to do life. And so at any sort of mature level anyway. And so in November, I got a sponsor, and I've had a closeness to my higher power throughout the last 10 years. But I always took it back. And so in November, I got a sponsor and I started working the steps. And I have a closeness to God now. God is my higher power, if I can call it my higher power God. And from turning it over and working the steps, I have been given about 65-pound weight loss. And it has given me, and I get emotional because I have a 17-year-old daughter who has seen me. I mean, I am a down and dirty food addict, you guys. I mean, I put food under my covers in my bedroom, close my door, and I eat because I don't want my daughter to come in and see what I'm eating and ask me about it. You know, I don't want her to share it. I hide my food. I take Oreos, excuse my language, Oreos out of the trash because I attempted to throw it away. I mean, I earned my chair in these rooms. You know, I've gone through 3 drive-thrus because I didn't want the drive-thru person to know that I'm ordering for just me. Like, they give a crap, you know? I'm so arrogant, so egocentric, but, you know, that was me, and that is me. And so abstinence for me comes from a direct correlation to my connection with my higher power. That's it. And I have to work the steps, and I have to talk to God every day. And every day, I mean, it's not like I only have, you know, 10 or so months of abstinence. And every day, the food thoughts come in. They're not like they were 24 hours a day, but they come in just to smell. I mean, get me near deep fried anything, and I'm like Pavlov's dog. I'm drooling immediately. And I don't know if that ever will end. I am not normal when it comes to food. But my abstinence is not about anything that I do other than the footwork that it takes to be connected to my higher power and work the steps and do what my sponsor tells me to do and be microscopically honest, because when I eat, I'm a liar and I lie all the time. Little lies, even like I walked 3 miles instead of just 2 miles, like who cares? But I mean, it's like I'm not enough. And I'll stop by saying my disease is really about me not being enough. And from that, I eat and I drink and I seek out relationships and I use anything to feel enough. And the only way I've been able to have those moments of enough is with my relationship with my higher power, doing the tools and those steps. They are a gift. So I say to you, after 9 years of struggling in this program, but showing up and telling my truth and being heavy in these rooms and having, you know, feeling humiliated, but doing it anyway, that just keep coming back. Because if you get on your knees, like I got on my knees, it just happened. So thank you for being here for me. I really appreciate it. Have a good day. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Dorothy. I'm from Buell, Idaho. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. And I'm so grateful to be here. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life, without a exception. And truly, that's all I wanted to share with you today, that I live a day by day, minute by minute, second by second program, keeping abstinence most important in my life, staying connected to my higher power, because I wouldn't have abstinence without it. It truly is a miracle program. I've been in OA, it'll be 6 years in November, and I loved what the speaker said about it not only being a progressive disease, but a progressive recovery, because that's what I found. I've been abstinent for 5 years, 7 months. My abstinence when I started wasn't anything like it is today. For me, when I started out, I heard on a tape saying 3 meals a day, nothing in between. Well, I had to add a fruit snack. I couldn't do just the 3 meals. But my 3 meals was taking everything that I ate in a day and clumping it into 3 meals. I couldn't give up anything. And amazingly, I even lost weight just doing that. And then slowly, the miracle happened and food fell away. What I eat today compared to what I was eating, you know, 5 years, 7 months ago is amazing, and I am so blessed. I never thought, I had dieted steadily for 30 years. I could only lose 10 pounds at a time, and then whatever diet, and I did everything, and I did it over and over again. There is not a single diet program I haven't been on. But it was me sabotaging my own program. Fear stepped in once I lost the 10 pounds. Then I didn't feel safe anymore. And so it wasn't until I got to OA's doors and was able to turn it over to God that I could actually give away the way to my higher power. Thanks.
I'm Diane, and I'm an overeater.
Hi, Diane.
And for some reason, I came up here, but I'm a newbie. But I'm not even abstinent. And what it is I need to learn. My roommate has a lot of experience, and I've been learning a lot from her about what this program's about. And I've only been to like two meetings before I came to this convention because I really, really want it. And I really want a sponsor that lives in Shoreline that has black hair, too. And I need one because I really willing. Now, this is my brief story, and I'm kind of nervous. I was a crack cocaine addict for years. And that's my primary addiction, because if I don't stay off crack, I can't have an eating disorder because I'll be dead. So I take that very seriously. And since I've been clean, which was March 24th, I also quit cigarettes and coffee the same day. And which I never thought I would do, because every time I tried to quit cigarettes before, all I thought about was cigarettes, and it was wild. Quitting cigarettes in a treatment center, yeah, okay. You know, it's like, whatever. So that's a God. So, and that's my higher power too. And so anyways, throughout my life, I had an episode 10 years ago with crack. I quit, but I was a maintenance alcoholic drinker. I was able to work, function. I was a real estate broker. I made great money. And then there was bits and pieces in there that I was clean, but I've never worked a program of sobriety, which of any kind of serenity. And so the one summer that I was clean, I sold 30 houses. It's like, wow, what a difference, you know, night and day. So anyways, it's like wild. So what I found was I got clean last July. But I met a guy in treatment, right? See, my counselor said, why don't you get a guy with a job? I'm like, wow, what a concept. Maybe I'll make that a new goal. But so anyways, of course, 6 months later, we relapsed together last February. It was like I never quit. I was up four or five nights from 3 to 4 nights in the summer. It was like I never quit cocaine. This is so progressive, and that's how I learned it. So in February, March, March I got clean again, because I went straight downhill. You know, I've overdosed 6 times and still went up to do it, you know. So what happened with me is since March I've gained 60 pounds. I was binging around the clock with sugar, sweets and stuff. Now I'm not drinking any pop, haven't been since treatment. You know, pop's out of the history. I drink 8 glasses of water, have been since treatment. And I exercise every day, so you have to work real hard to gain that much weight. With this type as I am, you know, and I worked real hard at it. So around the clock I was binging, and then I got to where I was just binging at night, and it was like I was sleepwalking to the kitchen. I live in a house with 32 other women. I'm poor now, so this is, it's great though, I love it. So because I'm humble, I'm able to start from scratch, and money to me isn't important like it used to be, obviously because I don't have any, but you know, but also because that's what God needed to do to get my attention, you know. He had to take it all away from me, because he would have never got me if he didn't. Because I was too into material things and everything out of me. I'm every type of addict there is, I am, you know. And so what is happening now is I'm extremely willing, and I really want this, because now food has become my primary addiction. Like,
nothing you could imagine. If you could imagine, every little thing I do is like, you know, and now food is like that. So what I feel like I'm doing, since I'm know everything, is I've switched addictions so I don't have to focus on my feelings for my other addictions. And so I probably need some, you know, some good step work, you know, and you know, to figure out why I would, see, I'm like on a teeter-totter. Now I'm like this. You know, it was like this. Food's never really been an issue for me my whole life. A little bit, maybe 10 or 15 pounds here and there. But I've always thought I was fat, you know. Even when I look back, I realize I was never fat. You know, it's like, what is wrong with me? So, it's like, okay. So now what I'm trying to do is learn from this convention, because when I try to do something, I jump right in. And here I am, two meetings prior to coming here, even though I talk to OA people all the time, I just don't go to the meetings. Good help there. And here I am to learn something from everybody. And I really appreciate everybody's honesty and heartfelt sharing, because it's been a really blessing for me. Thank you very much.
That's the end of our session. Would you please join hands and end with the serenity prayer? Thank you.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works. If you work it, and you're worth it.